The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I don't think Chris Paul's going to go back to LA. I feel like he's going to re-sign with the Rockets.
I don't have the contacts I used to have over there, but everybody that I've talked to seems to believe it's already a done deal that he's coming back. There's, you know, that he's wanting to get LeBron here. And if LeBron said, hey, let's go to LA and win one, if I'm Chris Paul, probably go. I know I have a chance to win with him.
If you go to L.A., does that team a legitimate contender to beat the Warriors?
With those two guys, yeah. But I think they have a better chance if they're here.
We're very excited because the Blitz is going to be simulcasted on 94.1 starting Monday from 4 until 7, the entire show. But other news, station news, The Bench from 7 to 9 will be simulcasted on both stations as well. And Charlie Polillo will be making his way over to 97.5 and will be simulcasted on both stations as well. And then the rest of the day remains the same.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, they're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow, not A.J., he's not here today, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. I made it to the third hour before I did that. At producer T. Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on live stream. Go to ESPN975.com and click on the live stream, and you get to see Jong Lee filling in today for A.J. Hoffman. You just heard him talking about the new lineup and everything that we're launching Monday. And the big news, of course, that the Blitz will be simulcast now on both 97.5 and 94.1 for all 3 hours. So we welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners.
And hello, Map.
Well done. And for those of you who have been listening to us on 94.1 for the last hour, you're going to get us all 3 hours starting Monday. So very excited about that. And a couple people email me about some of the other changes. And as John mentioned, Charlie Polillo will be on 11 to 1 now. And Raheel and Dell are still part of the team in a big way. I mean, they're going to be doing, John and Raheel with Dell is still going to be there from 9 to 11. Dell also is a big part of the bench. So I mean, those guys are you know, they do a great job. We're happy. We're really happy to have them and have them on air still. So I think it's good for everybody. It really is. It's going to be interesting, and we'll see how Charlie plays to the 97.5 audience. I'm excited to find out how it works. But all that aside, I'm just happy that the Blitz is going to be on 94.1 and 97.5. My buddy Roger texted me. Didn't Ovechkin have a couple of down years? You know the fewest goals he scored in his career? 32 in a season. That's the fewest he scored. And one of those years was a strike year. There was only 48 games.
He's good at sport. Yeah. He's good at hockey.
His worst year was 2010-11. He played 79 games, 32 goals, 53 assists for 85 points. And here's his goal totals. This is amazing in an era where nobody gets 50 goals, right? First year, 52 goals, 106 points. Second year, 46 goals, 92. Third year, 65 and 112. Fourth year, 56 for 110 points. 50 goals in his fifth year. Then the 32. Then he had 38 and still had 65 points. Then the 32 in 48 games, 56 points in 48 games, pretty amazing. Then back to 51 in 2013-14, 53. 50, 33 last year for 69 points. They used him a lot differently to try to preserve him for the playoffs. This year, 49, led the league again. So, yeah.
Do you know he has... Well, I'm trying to look at the stat. Do you know he has more game-winning goals than Wayne Gretzky?
Doesn't shock me.
He has 102 game-winning goals, and Wayne Gretzky has 91.
If you're getting a point per game, you're pretty much an elite player, right?
That's yeah.
In his career, 1,003 career games, 1,122 points, 607 goals. Pretty amazing in an era where nobody scores goals. So, when it's all said and done, he's going to be considered an all-time great. And the reason that came up is because I compared it to it would be like if LeBron didn't win until his 14th season. I think you maybe make a case it would – okay, maybe it's Kevin Durant. But I think those are the two best players in the league, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like if one of them had to wait till their 14th season to win a cup.
Yeah, I kind of equate him to Cristiano Ronaldo because he does a lot of scoring as well. And I feel like they're pretty comparable in terms of – because this guy – I mean, they're both scoring machines. And I'm happy that Mr. Ovechkin got his first Stanley Cup
final. He's just a big, goofy guy. He's impossible to root against. I mean, yeah. He's not...
That smile with all those teeth knocked out?
He doesn't seem to have a mean bone in his body. He's just a big kid. And I have to say, seeing how happy he was with that damn trophy last night, and I know it's been a long time coming for him. It was as much as I wanted Vegas to win, that was such a cool moment. There are times I've gotten pretty jaded about sports, but when you see something like that, you're like, yeah, you know what? Sports doesn't suck. This is a cool moment.
Even the guy who was talking about his dad with...
TJ Oshie, yeah.
Alzheimer's, that was a pretty touching moment.
Yeah, and you know, most hockey players that I met over the years are pretty damn good guys. And in this case, I think there were several good guys on that team. And Oshie's story was pretty powerful. And you could see... the genuine joy and emotion in winning that thing, that those guys really appreciated what they'd accomplished. And you know, so I'm happy for them. I'm happy for their fans. I know there's a lot of Caps fans in Houston because I run into them at the Maple Leaf. But, yeah, that's it's a great story. And I like it when great players, you know, because that's something that was definitely missing. And, man, and I listen to a lot of NHL Network radio, and the big narrative about Alex Ovechkin every year was, when he's out of the playoffs, he goes over and plays for Russia in the World Championships, and he needs to change that because, you know, so he keeps playing for his country, big deal. And so that it's his fault. It's his fault. And we just went through those numbers. And by the way, his playoff numbers are pretty much on par with his regular season numbers. His career playoffs, he's a little under a point a game, 121 career playoff games, 117 points, 61 goals. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And yeah, it hasn't been his fault that they haven't won. It really hasn't. Hockey's a lot different than a lot of sports, a lot like baseball in a way, because your great players are only impacting the game, you know, a certain amount of time, unless you're a pitcher or a goalie. And that's the thing. Hey, listen for your chance to win in the name game, where we call two names, and if one of those is your name, you try to be the first caller and the winner of today's prize. A $50 gift certificate to Stag, provisions for men. Whether you're in need of casual wear, dress clothes, or just new beach digs, Stag has just what you need. Raheel Lindell gave away today's prize to Brandon since he was the first caller. Congratulations, Brandon, for being today's winner. All right. John, how do you feel about a phone call?
You want to do a phone call?
Let's try Dan. Go, Dan.
Hey, buddies. Hey, appreciate, as always, the show. Been working on a joke, and I need some help. It doesn't really sound good, I know. But it sounds funnier in my head. What if you have the usual suspects and three blondes scuba diving underwater, which one would need more air? There you go. That's all I got.
That went over my head. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm drowning here myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
All right. Well, that was an interesting attempt at a phone call.
Yeah.
I love the usual suspects. I like all the guys on our station. I enjoy Barry and Joel's show quite a bit. I enjoy listening to Raheel and Dell, and you know, I've always loved John and Lance. That's never been a secret. I'm so excited that Lance is back here and those two guys are together because I've personally and professionally, I've admired for a long time. So it's kind of cool to have the people here that we have. And like I said, I think Charlie's a really interesting addition. It adds to the mix. And that's a lot of big names, man. A lot of big names. None bigger than Zhong Li.
No. The smallest name.
Well, you might be the smallest man out of all of those.
No, the biggest name, I believe, would be Lance Zierlein because he's on TV.
Yeah, right? probably. I think that's probably the biggest name. Granato's still pretty popular, too.
Yeah. But from a national standpoint, people know and criticize Lance Zierlein for his NFL stuff.
Yeah, but that's okay. He's a big guy. He can take it.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory. And he does a terrific job for NFL Network in addition to doing the bench. And I'll be honest, I'm proud to work with all these guys. It's such a good collection of people. And, you know, especially doing Sports Map, I get to work with almost everybody. It's a lot of fun, man. It really is. And getting to work with John and AJ every day is awesome. And even when we sneak Tyler into the mix, it's always fun.
Aw.
That's as nice as I'm going to be because we need to do some non-sportsy stuff. And, yeah, I guess I also have to make up for my Anthony Bourdain joke somehow. So that's what that was all about.
We had two deaths this week, both suicide. A third one's coming. I'm because these always come in threes. Do you consider Charles, I don't know how to pronounce, Krauthammer, maybe a star? He's an analyst for Fox News. And he revealed that he only has a few weeks to live.
Interesting.
I think you'll know him if you see his face. That's him right here.
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, he reveals that he has a few weeks to live, and if...
Damn, too bad we're not drafting this week.
Yeah, I don't know how old he is, but I'll look it up. I'll look up how old
he
is.
He can't be that old, because they don't keep him around too old on TV.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of looks like he has a little work done. But he is 68 years old.
Okay, I'd take those 32 points right now.
Yeah, and I guess he could commit suicide if he only had a few weeks to live. I don't know. So, but if he's a big enough name, then he's the next one to go.
I don't know. I don't know. Would AJ allow him on my Deadpool is the question.
I wouldn't know his name, but I would know his face. Because
that's
seen
how
him
I won
Fox.
Last year, because there was one guy, he didn't recognize the name, but as soon as I showed him the face, like, oh, yeah, I've seen him in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, then yes, I think he would allow it.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. For those of you who plan on living, you want to enjoy life, right? And the best way to do it this weekend, do some grilling. And you know what you want to grill? You want to grill that Zumo's Party Time Sausage or their Boudin. Both are fantastic. They've got all kinds of flavors, too, you can check out. And if you're not familiar with Zumo's, well, you guys over in Beaumont, you're very familiar with Zumo's. You guys have been eating Zumo's since 1908, man, when they first started in Beaumont. And they're in Houston. They're all over Houston. And they're really a good family that makes fantastic sausage. And that recipe's been passed down from generation to generation since they started. It's made from the highest quality ingredients, perfectly blended spices, and then it's hickory smoked for 4 hours, and you get a truly genuine Southern taste. So it's really good stuff, and you can get it in Kroger, you can get it in HEB, you can get it in Fiesta. So if you're going out and you're going to grab some food to grill with this weekend, make sure you pick up some Zumo's. And if you're on the fence about Boudin, try their Boudin, because I'm always hit and miss on it, man. I've had some where I go, not so good, and then I've had some that's good. Then I had theirs. I'm like, okay, I'm back on the Boudin train. So check it out, Zumo's Boudin, also fantastic. Everything's easy to cook, great for cookouts, family gatherings, quick meal, anything you want to do. And I like, when the wife was out of town, I loved having Zumo's because I could just throw that stuff on the grill, boom, done, make my own little meal with it, and it was fantastic. Check them out again. All your local grocery stores, look for Zumo's. That's Z-U-M-M-O-S, Zumo's.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's Fred Fowler and Jong Lee, producer T. Scott, producing the show today. This has been the smoothest show for me of the week.
Really?
Yeah, just because I'm more comfortable with you guys, I think. I thought the other shows were good, but I'm more myself, I think, when I'm doing the show with you guys.
Yeah.
Because it's just more, I don't worry as much, I guess.
I feel like the show has been very serious.
We can fix that.
We can fix it. We haven't done the gem of the day.
No, that's how we're going to fix it. By the way, Lamont says the blue water's back in Galveston. Yeah, I heard him talking about that over at Culture Map. That so they're going to run another story on it.
Are you somebody that will go down to Galveston to see the blue water?
No, because I just saw some really blue water in San Francisco.
Who am I?
And plus, I mean, Galveston to me, the Galveston I know and love and was born in.
Has poopy water?
It's about poop water. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be.
Or the people in Galveston will call it
nutrient heavy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. This one's kind of interesting to me. I know I'm pretty bad about being on my phone a lot and using it for everything, because they're like mini computers now, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's
yeah.
everything. You're probably pretty bad about it too.
Yeah, I play a game when I have some downtime. I'll play some mobile gaming, and you know, Teresa doesn't like that too much.
Well, let's say you guys go out to a bar or something, and you're just hanging around. Are you on your phones?
Sometimes if there's nobody talking, I'll be on Twitter or Instagram or on my game.
See, I do that a lot because we'll go out and we'll talk for a little bit, and then she'll get on her phone to start looking up stuff, and I'll get on my phone to start looking up stuff. And I'm not horrible about it. It's not like I take it to the bathroom with me. I don't do that.
Oh, I poop and view my phone all the time.
To me, it's not. And I'm not criticizing that, because it's no different than taking a magazine in there these days, because you have access to everything. But here's one thing I haven't done yet. A shocking new survey has found that 1 in 10 people admit to checking their phones during sex.
Well, no, I don't do that.
I am not one of those 10. Tyler?
Not during, but maybe shortly thereafter.
Well, yeah, after. Especially, listen, we're all busy people. Sometimes we've got work stuff going on.
Yeah.
But not during. But this research released by SureCall, which is a manufacturer of cellular signal boosters, surveyed 1,000 people. Among that 10%, 100 of them admit to checking their phone during sex.
Most of the time, I don't even know where my phone is while we're having sex.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably still in my pocket.
Yeah, so, yeah. And the story says millennials, unsurprisingly, are the likeliest to give into the romp-disturbing habit.
Yeah, it says people in the 18 to 34 age group are found to be almost twice as likely to check their phone during sex than 35 to 51-year-olds.
Oh, say the word that it says on the article, hanky-panky.
Hanky-panky. Really? Let's call it what it is. It's like the anonymous gambler. It's not hanky-panky, it's sex. Apparently, previous research has found that snubbing your partner for your phone, which they call fubbing, is on the rise. That's probably true. 46% of people in romantic relationships have been fubbed.
I don't think you can say that.
Yeah, I think
is it
again.
PH?
It's PH. Yeah,
it's PH.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So choosing your phone over your partner creates conflict and leads to lower levels of relationship satisfaction, higher levels of depression.
I mean, if you can do that and have sex at the same time, more power to you.
Yeah, it's not for me.
I can't concentrate like that.
Yeah, somebody says, sounds like they ain't doing it right. If they were, they wouldn't be checking. I'm with you on that. Now, as far as just being dumped for the phone, that's pretty much everybody now. I mean, 49 says, I've answered her phone during sex. Her roommate was not happy about that.
Oh.
Oh, boy. All right, let's squeeze in a couple. Willie wants to weigh in on this. What's up, Willie?
Hey, what y'all do with my phone from yesterday, first of all?
I don't remember. Sorry.
Well, the only time I got a cell phone during sex is when I'm recording it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that works, but you're not talking to someone else. Well, maybe you are. You know what? That's the thing. if I ever get a side piece, I'm going to go ahead and I'll record it, or I'll FaceTime one of you guys and say, hey, look, I'm having sex with this beautiful woman. No, come on. All right. This has not been a good call day. Let's try it. This can't get any worse, right? Even with OU Mike?
No.
We'll try it. OU Mike, go.
There you go. Now, I was going to talk about Charles Krauthammer. I know who John's talking about. When I used to watch Fox, one time I was watching him, I was like, who's this scarecrow? And then I researched him, and the guy had been in a diving accident and broke his neck. He was a paraplegic or whatever, and he's just sitting there in the chair. And because I was noticing he, like, in mid-sentence, he'd grasp for air sometimes, and it may be from complications from that the reason he said that. But, yeah, that's what I know about Charles Krauthammer.
All right. Well, guess what? That was a good OU Mike call.
No joke in there.
No joke in there.
I was expecting a joke.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come back with some kind of inappropriate comment.
He had a good one earlier today.
Oh, really?
He made he told Raheel that if he was sad about the Vegas Golden Knights loss in the Stanley Cup, that he should go on Beth's show and have a golden night with her.
Oh.
I thought it was hilarious.
Pretty good for him, actually. What was Willie talking about from yesterday? Does anybody know?
I remember taking the phone call, but I can't remember what he was calling about.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. I don't keep that close to track from day to day. We try to take each show as its own thing. Lamont is on this kick that somehow I look like Jeff Bannister, the Rangers manager.
How did that start up again?
I don't know, but I went to high school with Jeff. I don't think I look anything like him. He always got the better-looking girls. He always did better than me. And now he's probably the only person from Lamarck more famous than me. I'm not really happy about that either.
Well, he could be out of a job soon.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate to see that happen because, you know, I don't like to see people out of a job, but I would like to get back to being the most famous person from Lamarck. If he's a batting coach, does that... No, right? If he's a bench coach?
No. Now, I mean, I can't blame him for the roster that they have.
No. They've messed that team up pretty badly.
But the managers are always the first ones to go when you're having a down season. Yeah. So
I don't see the resemblance. Now, the Doug Marrone photos, yes, I can see that. There are a bunch of people doing Doug Marrone photos, and I'm thinking that's going to be my Halloween costume. Because him with the sunglasses and the hat down,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can actually see that.
Now you're going to have to go buy some Jaguars gear.
Yeah. I'll do that just for Halloween. We should have a Blitz Halloween party, and that could be weird, man.
Well, we could do something like that. When is Halloween? I mean,
it's October 31st.
Well, I know that, but it's on a Wednesday. I'm sure we could do something on, like, Darling Way or something.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we may need a bigger place for that.
I've never been.
Silver Street Studios.
You know what? We got a really nice place here now.
That's true.
That we could be doing parties. So, all right, let's we'll try one more because Dennis wants to talk about looking at the phone during sex. What's up, Dennis?
Hey guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. Congrats on the show. No, I just wanted to mention that I don't know. Some people use their phones during sex, so maybe you know the results are skewed that way towards it.
But why are you using your phone during sex? Is our question.
Well, people put view videos during sex while they're having sex. If you know what I'm getting at.
Oh.
Interesting.
Like is it like how do we do this? Like, should we look up positions? Is that what is that?
I guess.
I feel like that's kind of an unused resource, I guess.
I guess.
I'm not taking a call or sending out a tweet or text message during.
Now, if you're hooking up with Scarlett Johansson, you might be tweeting it about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would live tweet that.
Yeah. Or Bald and Natalie Portman.
I'd be like, hey, guys, look what I'm doing. I'm famous now.
And then 10 seconds later, I'm done.
Yeah, and then get tweeted at from VL Fowler, don't come home. It was worth it!
I got hacked.
Yeah. All right. 832 says, I'm down for the party. I'll dress up like OU Mike, just stained overalls, maybe.
Oh, it looks like Willie was the guy that was calling about Smokey. Was it Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah, okay, we talked about Smokey and the Bandit.
I remember that.
It was a trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a fun movie. All right.
There's one thing on your list that I want to get to.
Okay.
Is the, I guess, the 10 best and the 5 worst finales of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured you'd appreciate that.
Yeah. We can talk about that on the way.
Because one that I think is the worst of all time wasn't even on there.
Okay. We can talk about that on the way back when we come back.
Oh, you know what? Don't we have Barry on?
That's right. We do have Barry.
Yeah. So. We'll talk to him, Barry Abrams, and we'll keep it short because I want to get to this list.
Okay.
Quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jong Lee filling in. And going to talk a little Belmont with host of the In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com, Barry Abrams. You can follow him on Twitter at BAbramsVoice. Barry, how are you, sir?
Gentlemen, we cannot run this race before you and I have a chance to chat.
Oh, absolutely. All right, I'm going to tell you why I love the Belmont more than these other races, because I'm always a contrarian player. I don't like playing favorites ever. And what I love about this race, last 15 years, 2 favorites. Last 32, 6 favorites. What's going to happen tomorrow?
I think you may be in for much of the same. I think Justify is very vulnerable here. Not that he's necessarily going to lose, but, you know, Bob Baffert said when he brought American Pharoah here, said it this morning, he had those other horses over a barrel. He didn't say that about Justify. He said he's big and strong and all of that, but he's not talking the same kind of bravado, the same kind of bravado that he did with American Pharoah. So I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I kind of see Justify as closer to War Emblem than I do American Pharoah, and I might wind up being wrong about that. He does have a pace advantage here, which is obviously a big deal at the Belmont. People think, oh, a mile and a half, it's got to be closers, but the last 5 horses that won the Triple Crown all did it wire to wire.
You are a smart man. Now, the running style does favor him a little because the pace is slow, but what you also have in this race are a bunch of what I like to call grinders. You know, the horses that don't have the flashy early speed or the big closing kick, but who just have that one pace that they run at, and they just keep on running at that pace. And before you know it, they're, you know, it's the tortoise and the hare, where they kind of run people down in a, you know, with a long stretch, a 1,097-foot stretch at Belmont Park with which to do it.
Yeah, and one of the horses that I know you talked about before, the Preakness, was Bravazo, that you liked him better in the Belmont for that very reason. Are you on him tomorrow?
Well, I mean, he is a bit of a grinder, but there are others that I prefer. I mean, Bravazo was coming hard at the end of the Preakness, but he also will be with Justify, the only horses to run in all 3 legs of the Triple Crown. And I think, you know, Wayne Lucas, that's what he does, because he's an old-school trainer and he doesn't leave a horse in the barn. But I think Bravazo may need a little bit of time off. But I'm thinking of a horse like Tenfold, who was also coming at the end of the Preakness, who didn't run the Derby, a little bit fresher. I love Blended Citizen here, the horse that won the race the week between the Derby and Preakness, the Peter Pan at Belmont Park. So he has a win over the track, the only horse with a win over that track. And 2 horses that ran in the Derby didn't run all that well, but they're based in New York and have had 5 weeks of rest, and that's Vino Rosso and Hochberg. I think any one of them could give Justify all he can handle.
Yeah, I am absolutely in love with Hochberg. I think his Derby was a lot better than it looks on paper. I mean, he had to steady twice in the stretch. I think he could have easily been fine. A lot of horses have trouble in the Derby, but race wasn't all that bad considering. Bill Mott, the fact that he's a Tappet, the fact that He's got every right to improve here because he's so lightly raced. I think he's the one, and I'm all over him tomorrow. So tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think you are. I mean, I spent time at Bill Mott's barn this very morning, and I love what I saw from Hofburg. I think, you know, with a race this long, he's going to have a chance. Remember, Bill Mott trained Drosselmeyer to win the Belmont in 2010. Same kind of style, a real grinder type. Not a flashy horse, but he just keeps coming. And I think that's the kind of horse that can win the Belmont.
Yeah, and I'm especially in the Belmont, I'm always paying attention to breeding, and I just absolutely love the fact that he's a Tappet and Touch Gold on the bottom from the dam. I mean, that another horse who'd won the Belmont Stakes. I there's so many things pointing to this guy for me that I'm going to swing pretty hard at him. So,
well, and the thing with Justify, where everybody's talking about Justify, is that his breeding, he's got some distance in him from his mom, but his father is Scat Daddy, who hasn't been. You know, his horses haven't been racing that long, but the ones that have been milers, maybe not more than that. Now, having said that, we've seen horses with what we think are sprint pedigrees, shorter distance, winning these big races, like Big Brown winning the Derby and Preakness in 2008, like Beholder, a daughter of Hetty Hughes, who was a big-time sprinter, winning three Breeders' Cup distance races. So, I think the breeding is a little bit overrated, but it is something to keep in mind. But, of course, also remember, as you know, guys, none of these horses have raced a mile and a half, and very few of them will ever do it again. So for all of them, not just the shorter pedigreed ones, it's a great unknown.
That's Barry Abrams, host of the In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at BAbramsVoice. Okay, one horse you get, I give you $100 to bet on to beat Justify. Which one of those do you pick of the ones you mentioned?
Wow. If you're giving me just one, I like Tenfold. I like what I saw coming at the end of the Preakness. And because he's a little bit fresher than Bravazo and a little more accomplished than Blended Citizen, I'll go with Tenfold.
All right. Well, I like all of those. I like Vino Rosso a lot too. It's another one that I'm using quite a bit in my trifectas and stuff. But keying around Hofburg, now you've got Tenfold to play with too. So I usually would give the people enough to swing at. So I think they're covered, Barry.
Well, I hope you have a good time watching it. It could be a memorable day if Justify does win. And I'm not saying he won't win. I think he's going to run a good race. I think it's going to be one where he gets collared right near the end. And it'll be one you'll remember for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think that's how it's going to play out. And Baffert's horses, even the ones that didn't win the Triple Crown, they all ran well. So I expect them to show up. But I just think it's a lot to ask. That's Barry Abrams. Check out the In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com. Always joins us before the Triple Crown. Barry, great stuff. And look forward to talking to you again. And good luck tomorrow, man.
Thanks so much, gentlemen.
All right. Okay, John. So... I'm not with him on Blended Citizen for a couple of reasons. I didn't want to get into it because it just sprint breeding from the mom going a mile and a half, not exactly my favorite.
What odds do you place on Justified winning the thing?
He's 4-5 morning line. He's probably going to go off 3-5. I think
pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah, he's going to be a heavy favorite, which is why he's a play against for me. Because I give him about a 50% chance to win, and I'm going to be getting a lot less than that betting on him. So I'm going to take I'm betting Hofburg in the exactas and the trifectas. I'm using him in Bravazo in the trifectas, and I'm kind of hoping for a Hofburg, Bravazo, Vino Rosso finish or something like that. And if that happens and Justify's fourth, we're going to have a hell of a party next week.
Can you explain why there's so many Triple Crown possibilities that have happened over the past couple of, well, I guess the past decade than before? Are they breeding them differently? Are they training them differently?
Yes and yes. And I think part of it is, and we talked about this on the Preakness podcast with RJ, is that horses are, they keep their form from the Derby to the Preakness because they're in peak form for the Derby. And because it's only 2 weeks later, they tend to hang on to that. But then to come back 3 weeks later and to try to win the Belmont, that's why American Pharoah was so special. And 14 times, we haven't talked about Affirmed in 78 since American Pharoah won. Mm-hmm. 14 times since then, a horse has won the first two. You know how many have won all three? one, and that was American Pharoah, and he was truly special. And I think, I don't know that this horse is special. I think he's pretty good. And I just think there's a lot against him. So if 13 out of 14 times I'm going to be right betting against this guy, I don't have any choice, do I?
No.
I'm going to bet against him. Longhorn Dimitri, I wish I knew how to bet horse racing. I wish there was a book. Search Acing Racing 2016.
For, won't you ask RJ?
Yeah, $12.99. You'll learn all this great information. So you had that list, and I want to get into it real quick. We'll do it when we come back. And Tyler, make sure you leave us enough time to do stupid stuff.
Oh, we didn't have enough material this week for stupid stuff.
Oh, we didn't? Oh, no. Good. Well, that's what we'll do next segment when we come back. All right. But first, I'm going to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And guys, I can't say enough good things about the people at Texas Mattress Makers, from Yuval, Lax, Jeff, Rachel, all of them. Just really good people. And they're huge in the community, but more importantly, they're going to put you on a mattress that you're going to sleep like a champ, and you're going to save a bunch of money. And you know it's hot right now. Well, you can sleep cool with the right mattress. And the fun thing about it is, if you or your other half's having trouble sleeping because of the heat, just tell them they're going to put you on the mattress that's best for you, custom fitted. You're saving 50% off of what you're paying at retail. And how about this? During June, 25% more. Some hot 25% sales at Texas Mattress Makers all June long. So you got that 50% you're already saving over any place else you're going to go. And now 25% on top of that. Visit them today. They are, I'm telling you, man, these guys know so much about the mattresses because they make them right there. And that's how they know. Talking to Yuval, he is like a mattress savant, man. He's going to put you on the perfect mattress. And you're going to save a bunch of money. There's no reason to go anywhere else. Plus, they're just good people, and they love the Blitzers. And I'm telling you, I have one upstairs and one downstairs. My daughter was on the one downstairs, got this morning, and said, "Dad, you got to get me one of those beds for home." I'm like, "No, you can just move in or something." But, next bed, she's going to Texas Mattress Makers because they're that good. Visit them today. Our friends out in Katy, they got one at 5026 East 3rd Street. And you can also go to 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood, the original. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep, the best price, guaranteed.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you haven't checked out SportsMap, go check out SportsMap. If you don't read a SportsMap article today,
baby dies.
Tyler will go on a killing spree. and you might be the victim.
If anything, for you Blitzers, if you want to see more Holly, she's on the cover, or she's on the front page of SportsMap.
I see what you did there. See more Holly. Yeah. For those of you who aren't watching on the stream today because it's Jong and me instead of Holly, you can go see her on video. And she's all dressed up and everything. Looks respectable.
Looks like she's going to claw some eyes out with those nails.
Those nails are, those are scary. Yeah, I'm telling you, Wolverine. Maybe your new nickname. All right, you had the story here. Let's do this.
No, you had the story. I just wanted to talk about it.
Fine, talk about it.
So we have the 10 best and the 5 worst TV finales of all time. And some of these I haven't seen. And I think you've seen a lot more of these than I have. And this is from USA Today. The number one best finale of all time, according to USA Today, is 6 Feet Under. I have not seen 6 Feet Under.
Wife watched that one. Pretty good. Yeah, I think.
Would you say it's the best finale of all time?
I don't know if it's the best finale of all time. I'm biased. I think Banshee ended perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good one.
Number two is Newhart.
All right.
That was
pretty funny. I don't know if it was the second best ever, but it was pretty good.
Number three was MASH. Again, it's that one I have not seen.
Yeah, I don't remember much about that. I was never a big MASH fan.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Don't remember that ending.
Battlestar Galactica.
You know, as much as I like sci-fi and stuff, I was never into Battlestar Galactica.
Me neither. Now, this is we're getting to a territory that we're going to talk a little bit more about these shows. So, Sopranos, number six. This show, very, very split down the middle, I think, on people that hated it and people that liked it. I was very indifferent on it. At first, I was like, what just happened? And then as time went on, I kind of accepted it.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air. When I saw it, I didn't think it was the worst thing I'd ever seen or the best. I just thought it was okay. And then the more I watch it and more I think about it over time, the more I appreciate the ending. I like the way that they didn't just spoon feed us an ending.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you had to kind of think for yourself. I like that. I still don't know whether it was perfect or whether it was good or whether it wasn't any good, but that's part of what makes it interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, now James, I can never pronounce
Gandolfini.
Gandolfini, he's dead now, so you could just say Tony's dead. Be an easy way to do it.
Just hanging with Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. Number seven, The Shield. I was never a Shield watcher.
Yeah, I never watched it enough to remember the ending.
Number eight, Cheers.
Okay, I vaguely remember that one being pretty good.
Number nine, Breaking Bad.
I thought that was a really well-done ending.
Yes, I thought that was really good.
I think it should be higher than nine.
Yeah. And number 10, I think you were semi-high on this show when it first aired, The Americans.
Yeah, I ejected after about a season and a half. I know AJ stayed with it.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're...
Everything I read about it, the ending was like, okay.
Mm. Yeah. The top five worst...
Sons of Anarchy, number one.
Seinfeld is definitely going to be on that list.
Seinfeld is on this list. It's at number two. Now... This was one of my guilty pleasures, and How It Met Your Mother was a guilty pleasure. The series was a lot better early on,
yeah.
And it was one of those shows where I had to watch it because I was so invested in it. Kind of like what I, luckily for me, I got out of The Walking Dead. But this final season of How I Met Your Mother spanned about 20 episodes. All of those episodes were contained in a 24-hour period, and it's really, really horrible. And I don't know if I agree it's the worst finale ever, but it was pretty horrible.
Well, I mean, the whole show built up to that, right? That was supposed to be the big moment.
Yeah, the entire season they spent on a 24-hour period. I don't know how you do that as a show. And let's go through this really quickly. Seinfeld was number two. Lost is one of those shows that I ejected on. I heard had a horrible ending. You weren't a Lost fan.
It wasn't that bad.
Dexter, number four, and Charmed, number five. I did not watch either one of those shows.
I kind of watched Dexter, but I don't know anything about Charmed. So, all right, guess what? Well, that went by too quick.
Yeah, I thought I had more time, but I guess not.
I mean, I'm talking about the whole show went by too quick.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, for people that don't like me, AJ will be back Monday.
But so will you.
Yeah, I'll be back here, but I'll be behind the glass.
All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Jong Lee behind the glass. Remember that?
Yeah.
Great job, Jong. A+. Tyler, you get an A today. I don't think you bleeped anything up. I'm very proud of you. That was okay.
Well, you just forgot about the thing that messed up at the very
beginning. Yeah, no, I didn't forget about that. That's why it wasn't an A+, dickweed. All right, everybody have an awesome weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday. Well done, Jong. It's a blitz. Stay sports, you bitches.